Amen. Thank you all for that song.
Great song. Song I never get tired of hearing. I love that song. Jack and Alana, thank you for singing that song. I like that song. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to say this morning, first thing, I want to thank the group upstairs that are taking care of the sound for us. We appreciate Brother Chris, Brother Rusty, Brother Preston, and Miss Teresa for what they do up there. We have been successful in securing a lift for the church so we can actually work on our other projector up here. We're going to get it working, and we're looking at getting some new mics and things like that. Now that we got a lift, we're excited. So thank you, church. Also, thank you for your continued giving during these difficult times. It is different. It's a different time, but it will get back to the normal of church. It's, you know, some people say, well, it'll never get back to normal. It's going to get back to where we can have church, okay? It's going to get back to where we can have Sunday school and where we can have children's church and where we can have spring flings and fall festivals and all that good stuff. I'm looking forward to that. This is my family. This is where I want to be. I don't want to be anywhere else. Sometimes I get to the point, I don't care whether the sports start back or not. And I know that might upset some of you, but there's a whole lot of it that I'm just about to the point. I'm just ready to come back to church. I'm ready to come back and have a wild game banquet and be able to have the kind of fellowships that we've had. I love being in the house of God. But I want to thank you for your continued giving. And you can give to the church a couple of different ways. You can give by sending to our P.O. Box, which is 524 Hiram, Georgia, or you can go online and give through PayPal. There's a button on there for giving. And I'll say this, the church has been very gracious and very good during these times. And we thank you for that because we believe God has a plan for Hiram First Baptist Church. God has a plan for you and for your life and for your family. You know, we are going to be talking about when we get back to having a nursery soon. We're going to be talking about children's church and a plan for Awana. We do need things to continue to go in the right direction because we want to keep everybody safe. We want to make sure that everything is in order, but I believe that will happen. You know, they sang the song, Everybody's Going Through Something. You know, if this morning we want to be able to open up the Word of God and we want to go into the book of Psalms, chapter number 11. If you got your Bible, if you want to read along with us. Psalms chapter number 11, and we want to read from the Word of God. You know, it's very important when we open and we stand in church that we refer to the Word of God. I have actually heard people stand up and say they were preaching and never opened the Bible. Well, folks, I'm going to have some scripture for you this morning. I just believe that everything that we say that we believe needs to be based on the foundation of the Word of God. You know, the message this morning that we're going to try to bring to you, the title is Standing on the Foundation. You know, when we talk about going through some things, and we all go through things in our life, sometimes I wonder how a person that doesn't have a relationship with God can face the things that they face and go through it. I've even heard people ask the question, well, how do you make it through that, or how do you go through those things? And the answer in the testimony comes back to the point of reference is it's not me, it's Him. Now, we talk about this sometimes in this church, and I want us to think about this for just a minute in our life. If I'm going to have strength, where's the strength going to come from? Am I going to be relying on myself and what I can do, or am I going to be looking at what God can do and who God is and put my trust in Him? Sometimes even the success of our lives. And you can take that down to the lowest level. Sometimes I hear these kids and they talk about having a test. I like to hear them say, pray for me, I've got a test on Monday. Pray for me, I've got a test on Tuesday. And you say, well, that's trivial. No, it's not. I like to hear them say those things. There have been few times that I've asked my wife, I said, pray for me, I can't get this bolt out of this fuel pump. And I'm laying under a car and it's 95 degrees. And you say, well, that's trivial. No, it's not. I remember one time I was on a job site, and this is years ago now. I was just a teenager, younger than some of these sitting over here, but I was working every day, working at a glass shop, and I was a Christian. I was saved when I was 12. God called me to preach when I was 18. Now, I remember there was a young man there that I worked with that didn't believe in God. He didn't have the foundation of God. He didn't have the foundation of having Christian parents that took him to church and being in church. And, you know, along those lines, I was mentioning it to somebody this morning. Some y'all remember this book? You know, I opened this book up this morning, and I started flipping pages through it, and about three-quarters of the songs in this book I can sing without looking at them. And I want to tell you what that is. That's a foundation. That's because I was taken to church before I could even speak, okay? God was in my heart. He was in my life. He was in the home. Well, I was working with this young man, and he was not a Christian. He did not know the Lord, and, of course, the characteristics of his life, they demonstrated that. And he wasn't a bad guy. He come to work every day, and he was at work before it was time to start. He was somebody that I wanted to work with because he did his part. But I can remember when conversation would come up and something would be said, and this was just the way that I was raised because I heard my dad say it so many times. He would say something, and I would say, well, if it's the Lord's will, I'll do this or I'll do that. You going so-and-so Saturday? Well, if it's the Lord's willing. Y'all remember hearing those kind of words? But it was because of the foundation. And the foundation that was in there so that when we face things, it's right in front of us in our lives. You know, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. How do you do that? You talk to the Lord all the time. You talk to the Lord when you sit down and eat a meal. You talk to the Lord on your job. You talk to the Lord when you're having difficulty getting something done. You talk to the Lord not just when you need Him, but do you talk to Him like He is a friend? And after all, you know, the Bible says He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, okay? So, you know, I think the foundation is extremely important. But folks, we're in a time today where there is an attack on the foundation. There is an attempt to break the foundation down. There's a fundamental desire for people to change. I've even heard it said, now I'm not going to talk a lot about politics. I hear enough of that if I get 15 minutes, okay? But I want you to understand something this morning in the house of God. You cannot separate your politics from your religion. You cannot separate your politics from your salvation. Because if you have been saved by the grace of God and you vote a certain way, it needs to line up with what you say you believe about the Word of God. If not, something's wrong. Okay? Now, I'll say this and we'll move on. Same thing. You ever heard anybody say, well, I keep my Saturday night living and my Sunday morning church going separate? If you want somebody that'll say that's okay, you need a different preacher. Okay? That's just not where I'm at. I believe the way you live on Saturday and the way you live at work, the way you get up and go to work on Monday morning through Friday, the way that you deal with people needs to line up with what you say you believe about the Word of God. If not, God, Jesus has not made a difference in your life. And if you know Him, knowing who He is and the power that He has, He should make a difference in every factor and asset of your life. Young people, your career choices should be affected by the fact that you know Jesus. The person that you marry one day, and one day y'all might not be thinking about it right now, but it's not too far out there. Some of you boys over there think girls have cooties. It's coming, okay? It's coming, but when you get married, it needs to be impacted by the fact that you know Jesus, and if you know Jesus, let me just go ahead and say this, that person ought to know Jesus, okay? The Bible says to be ye not unequally yoked together. That's what it teaches us, and if we'd teach that and we'd understand the importance of that foundation and get it rooted back into this country, we need to get things turned. The ship needs to be turned back to God, okay? It's like turning the Titanic. Have you ever seen something that sometimes looks so big, you say, well, how can I even accomplish that? It's like eating an elephant. You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You can't eat it in one meal, but next year it might be gone if you stay at it. And sometimes that's the way it is in our life. Now, let's look at this scripture in Psalms chapter 11, chapter 11. Verse 1 through 7, and I want you to pay particular attention to the third verse. It says, in the Lord I put my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For though the wicked bend their bow and make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. You ever felt like you were under attack and you just trying to serve God? Let me just tell you this. If you're serving God in America today and you are trying to be what God wants you to be, you can expect to have battles. Now, I don't know exactly how this message is going, But I've got to preach what comes out of my heart. After all, I do pray that God would give me that, okay? But sometimes I'm with my wife and we're riding down the road and I know that I'm under attack. You know why I'm under attack? Because I believe this Bible and I'm standing for God and we're living in what I believe the Bible calls the last days. And if I believe that and I understand what spiritual warfare is, here's what I tell her. I said, you can expect things to happen. You can expect there to be difficulties. And she says, why? I says, because you're riding with me. And I got a target on my back because the devil don't like what I'm standing for. He don't like what's going on in Hiram First Baptist Church. And let me tell you something, church. If he can break you down, we're the last defense. Now listen to what this says. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try in the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked shall he turn snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. I didn't write that, but that's pretty strong, isn't it? It says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. Now I want to say this, and we're going to flip over now to Luke chapter number 6. God is looking at you, and he loves you, and he likes what he sees, okay? You know why? Because you are his, and you represent him, and you shine as a light in a world that is not looking for him, okay? Now, I know if you look at the numbers and you look at a world map, they say there's a lot of Christians, but I want to tell you something. We need power with God to see things turn. And when you come into the house of God and you serve God and you live for God and you don't run with the same excessive ride of the world, God smiles on you. You are a twinkle in the eye of God because God is looking at you. He's proud of you. It's just like he did with Job. He said, look at my children. Look at what they're doing for me. Okay? Our foundation is him. Now let's go over to Luke chapter number 6 and look at verse number 47. It says this, it says, whosoever, and this is the red words of Jesus, it says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built his house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the rain, the ruin of that house was great. You know, I want to read in one more place, and then we'll get into the text, the message this morning. It's in Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 24 to 27. You know, it's talking about a foundation and building a house upon a rock, and it talks about the rains coming. You know that water weighs over 8 pounds a gallon. I've been dealing with some water lately, and you can take big stones. I'm talking about big stones. And you can lay them out, and if they're not secure, that water is going to push those stones, and it's going to tear down, and it's going to beat. And here's the point. Sometimes people think that they're strong enough or they've done enough by themselves, but you can't be. You know, it would be impossible for me to think that I and myself, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, and here's sometimes where people get the wrong impression. They think they're educated enough. They think they're educated enough. I've heard people say even, I've even had them say it to me, well, I got so-and-so education, I ought to be able to get a good job. Well, get in line. You know, you go to the last recession in 2010, there were people with computer engineering degrees fighting for jobs to get at McDonald's. You know, our hope is not in this world. Our hope lies in the Savior that understands and cares for us. What about our strength? Let me tell you something. You don't know that you're even going to have your last breath. You don't know when your body's going to break down. You don't know when it's going to be that one incident, that one fall, that one trip that's going to change the rest of your life. How many people have I heard, and there's one incident in their life that changes their life? Let me tell you something. We can't put our trust down here. We must put our hope and our trust in the Lord.
of where we get deceived and where we get in trouble is when we think we've got it figured out and we've got things in order and we're okay. You're not okay without God. Let's flip over to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. And this is parallel, but I'm going to come back to these verses in just a minute. Verse number 24 says this. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, the song they sang is everybody's going through something. Have you ever enjoyed an afternoon? I mean, it's beautiful today, right? Yesterday afternoon, wasn't it really pretty? You get out there and you sit down and you start seeing how pretty it is and the sun setting and, you know, the temperature's just right. And maybe you're sitting there and, you know, you feel just right. You know, you're not hungry. You're not too full. You've got something to drink that's, you know, whatever you want. You're comfortable and you're happy. You ever sit there like that and you thought, I wish it could just be this way all the time. And you know, it's just right when things are just right for you. Now, you know, yesterday wasn't just right for everybody, was it? You know, it may be all right sometimes at your house, but you ever heard the saying, it's not all right always at somebody else's house? That's why the Bible tells us we ought to bear one another's burdens. But I want you to think for just a minute about the time that you felt like it was just right. There's no hardship, there's no trouble, there's no problems, there's no kids that are wandering off and you don't know where they're at. There's no bills that are due that are not paid. There's no call from the doctor that's got you upset. It's just right. And then you sit there for a minute and you think, I wish it could be this way all the time. But then we begin to realize the reality. The phone rings and there's a call on the other end. It's your doctor. It's your bill collector. It's your children. It's something that's in trouble. And then we go back to that moment. When you're sitting there in that perfect moment and everything is fine, welcome to heaven. Okay? There's not going to be any heartache. There's not going to be any trials. There's not going to be any trouble. There's not going to be any fear. There's not going to be any pain. But as long as we're down here, if you're not dealing with it today, it's coming. And you know, we don't know what tomorrow holds. That's why this foundation is so important. You see, the presence of the foundation in Luke chapter 6, verse number 47, it says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. You know, I've seen people get things going just right or need things to be going just right, and I've actually prayed with them to where they'll be praying, help me pray about my family, help me pray about my job, help me pray about my current situation, and they're looking for God, and they're willing to pour everything out to God and give everything on the altar to God, and that's what we're supposed to do. But I've also seen some of those same people when things get better. You know, when things get good, when you get that promotion at work, when things are good at home, what do? Unfortunately, sometimes we forget where the foundation lies. In Matthew 7 and 24, it says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth him, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And here's some things I think are very important that we recognize. Number one, you got to believe. And number two, I believe there's something here that teaches us that we need to obey. And if we believe and we obey, what the Bible says is it says that we are wise. You know, sometimes we think we're smart. There's a difference in being smart and being wise. You know, I've never heard anybody called a wise aleck. I've heard people call it a smart aleck. Y'all get the difference. You see, when we're wise, we'll never be called a smart aleck because we'll know when to be quiet. We'll know how to act. We'll know what we're supposed to do. But sometimes, unfortunately, we don't take the wisdom that God wants to pour out on us. We want to turn it around and use our own smart. And when we do, we get in trouble. You see, the foundation
The presence is in walking with Jesus. Doesn't mean you won't have trouble. We do. Doesn't mean we won't have difficulty. We will. But I'd rather go through it with Jesus. You see, then I want you to understand this foundation has a purpose. The scripture says in the 25th verse that there was rains that descended, there were floods that came, and winds that blew. And they beat upon that house, but the house that was on the foundation, it did not fall, but it was founded on a rock. Have you ever seen anything built that didn't have a firm foundation? You know, unfortunately, I have been involved with building all my life, and I've been on buildings, and you might have heard about one recently where part of it fell. The structure wasn't built right. I went one time, I went up and looked at a building, and it was a beautiful building. The whole outside of it was wrapped in marble and curtain wall. And I said, man, it had a light shining on it. I said, what a beautiful building. But the man I was talking to, he said, they're going to have to tear it down. I said, why are they going to have to tear that building? That building's beautiful. He said, the foundation wasn't put in right, and the building is sinking. And the corner over here that I can show you, he said it's already went down 2 feet. Already sunk in the mud 2 feet. And he said, they say that within the next year that it will sink enough that the structure will become unstable and it'll start coming apart. And I begin to look at it and I begin to think about it. And I thought about this scripture. You know, it doesn't really matter what we look like on the outside, because sometimes the outside is a facade. It's what people see, it's what people think, and sometimes we're so concerned about what people see and what people think that we're really not paying attention enough to what's going on down on the inside. You see, here's what I want us to understand. God don't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And if the heart is linked to Him and the foundation is in Him, I want you to understand something this morning. God can do more with your faithfulness than He can ever do with what you think that you can do. And if we recognize that the purpose of the foundation is in Him for what? To be able to withstand the storms of life. To be able to stand the natural storms, the spiritual storms, and even the cultural storms. And we're faced with those, making decisions. What do I do? What is the right way to go? It comes from walking and standing with God. You see, our ability to stand comes from God and not for ourselves. What about the power? You feel like you're strong? I mean, sometimes I have people say this to me. My people say this to my wife because I'm the pastor, or she's the pastor's wife, and she does probably spend more time ministering to people in this church than I do, and I appreciate that. But I want you to understand this something this morning. Sometimes people call us and they say, y'all seem so strong. You seem so strong. Things seem to be like they're just so good in your life, but they don't know that I'm not strong. Sometimes the fact is I feel pretty weak. Sometimes my wife, she says, you know, I had this call today and I felt really weak when I got the call. You ever done that? And all of a sudden you find yourself being in a position that because you have a relationship with God and you help others, sometimes it helps you. You see, the power of the foundation is not in us, it's in Him. That's sometimes where people get in trouble. I've seen people in church that acted like they were strong. You know what I'm talking about. You ever heard this? Y'all said this. You think you're it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We're not it. He's it. Okay? The power of the foundation comes through Jesus Christ. You see, in the Luke 6:48 says He's like a man which built a house. Now listen to this next part. And digged deep. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Brother Allen mentioned a minute ago, they said they prayed all over that town. How many times do you have to dig deep? How many times do, in your relationship with God, to have strength to stand? There it is, you're right in the middle of it. Doesn't mean it's automatic. Sometimes you have to dig deep. You ever had to go to the closet? You ever had to go to the woods? You ever had to go to your place to pray? Wherever it is, you know where it is.
where you can get off just somewhere, you and God, and you talk to Him, and you have to dig deep. You see, our strength is not in ourselves. That's where we get deceived. Sometimes that's why people get lifted up higher than they should. That's why people, as the saying goes, get too big for their britches. You ever seen a preacher that was too big for his britches? You ever seen a deacon that was too big for their britches? I remember one time I was standing on the front porch of a church. The church needed a pastor, and there was a man heard about it, so he came. And he sat in the back of the church, and he just made the comment when he come out. He said, "I'm about to get me a church." And I just looked at him, and I thought, oh, boy. He ain't even pastor yet, and he's already too big for his britches. You see, where we get in trouble is when we forget to dig deep and we start to lift ourselves up. We're living in times today to where our foundation needs to be stronger than it has ever been, because you are potentially going to face things that your children never saw, that your parents never saw, that you really don't want your children to see. But the scripture says over there in Psalms chapter number 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And it goes on to say this, that he shall be like a tree planted by the root. You know, those roots need to be able to go that way, not that way, but that way. You got to dig deep, and you got to dig deep so that that foundation's strong enough so that when whatever that storm comes in your life, you can stand and give God the honor and glory. Psalms 125 and verse number 1 says this, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." You see, the foundation in Jesus Christ is built to not be shaken. Because here's what I want us to understand. You and I change, right? You and I have limitations. And I know this is a little bit different this morning, but I'm just sharing with you what's on my heart. Here's what I want you to see. You and I have the ability to change. Just because you got the name Christian and just because you were saved one day, you need to pay attention. But what I want you to understand is your foundation cannot be moved. If Jesus is your foundation, he doesn't change, he doesn't lie, he keeps all of his promises, and every time that you pray, he hears you. Everything that's going on in your life, he cares about it, he cares about what you're faced with, and I want to tell you something else. Although sometimes you and I get overwhelmed, it does not surprise him. So how do I stand in the middle of these storms? How do I stand when the wind blows? How do I stand in a spiritual battle? How do I stand in a financial battle? How do I stand in a battle of my health? You stand on the foundation. Don't step off of it. Stand on it. And stand with him. Have you ever heard the song, "His hand reached further down than I could reach up"? That's an old song. But think about that for just a minute. Have you ever needed God and you did this? And you're reaching for God's hand. And you want God right now, and you think he's too far away. He can reach further down than you can reach up. But if you're standing, and this is what I believe about my Lord, if you're standing on the foundation and you're looking and reaching up to him, he's going to reach down to you. God has no intention, just like he did with the children of Israel. He did not lead them out of Egypt to go down there by the river to lead them. He wasn't going to leave them there. He protected them with a cloud and with a fire, and he led them through as they crossed the waters that were parted. Then they got over there, and they were thirsty, and they were down at the waters of Marah. He had no intention of leading them out of Egypt and having them cross that water to get over there and thirst to death. He wasn't going to let that happen.
every battle or everything that they come up against, rather than looking back and seeing where God had brought them from, they constantly murmured. I want you to understand something. God sees you, God cares for you, and God has not changed. I just wish we could see it all sometimes, don't you? I got a bunch of phones. I got two cell phones I carry. I don't like that. But have you ever thought, I wish God just sent me a text. You know, tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do. I wish God would just give me a call. Maybe he is. But he speaks to us in a different way. Remember Elijah was over there and he was laying by the juniper tree and he was basically just feeling like his life was over. He wanted it to be over. And as he lay there and he was hurting and he was sleeping like a lot of people do, rolled up in a ball, sometimes like people do, they roll up in a fetal position and they think, my life is over, I don't know what I'm going to do. And it doesn't matter whether it's your fault or you can say it's somebody else's fault, you failed, you've not been what you should have been, or maybe somebody else has not been what they should have been. And you think, well, God's not going to help me because God's not proud of me no more. That's not true. You know what God did for Elijah? He sent an angel. The angel came and ministered to him and fed him and gave him drink. And you know what happened? He laid right back down and curled up again. Don't criticize him. You and I have been there. You know what God did? God sent that angel again. And that angel came, and it fed him, and it gave him drink, and it ministered to him until he was strong enough to get up and go on. And then God provided an object lesson. God was trying to teach him. God took him over to this cave, and God began to speak to him, and he showed him these great and powerful things, you know, the wind, the earthquake, the fire. He said, but how did God speak to him? Through a still, small voice. You know, you and I are here this morning. We might be looking for that text. We might be looking for that phone call. But God might be speaking to somebody through a still, small voice this morning. And what he's doing is he's calling you that you would understand. And here's what God's saying. I know what you're going through. I know what's going on in the world. I know about all the rioting. I know about all the garbage in politics. I know about all the things you faced. I know the challenges. I know the health issues. I know the job issues. I know the things that are going on with your children. I know the things that are going on in your life. I know all your doubts. I know all your fears. I know all your troubles. But I'm standing here with my arms open, and I want to help you. You know, unfortunately for us, we think God's left us. God ain't went nowhere. The question is, where are we at? You see, to step off the foundation sometimes is just one step. But it's also one step to turn around and come back. The psalmist said this about our Lord. And I like this verse. It says, he is the lifter up of my head. Sometimes, and I think in life this is the way that it ought to be. Find somebody that you can help. Think about that. Because the times in my life that I needed help the most is when I was the least worthy of getting help. But that's when the Lord came and he was the lifter of my head. And it's like this. You ever been down for whatever reason? You got your head down? And the Lord comes along, and he does this. God cares about you this morning. And I want you to understand, and I believe God wants you to understand this morning, stay on the foundation. Stay on the foundation. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet, and they're going to play a song. Everybody here has been through something. Maybe you're going through something right now. We got some folks in our church that are going through some things. I've seen some of you go through things, troubles or trials or difficulty, and I've seen some of you take those difficulties and help somebody else. Maybe this morning somebody needs to just talk to the Lord. But maybe most importantly, there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's no decision you will ever make in your life that is as important as making that commitment to Jesus Christ. Because you will not spend eternity on this earth. It's just a small period of time. And I will tell you this, and I believe this, if you'll walk with God and let Him help you, it'll be what He wants it to be. After all, it's all about Him. If God spoke to your heart and you feel like praying, would you please come?